Today, how the price of one drug is impacting the lives of thousands of people. And, in opinion, the rise of conspiracy theories and fake news could be putting the EU's future in danger.
I've covered a lot of stories about drug prices and the campaigns of patients to get access to drugs in the past, but this one really did astound me.
4 years ago, news broke of a new drug for cystic fibrosis, a drug that for the first time treats the cause, not just the symptoms, and has the potential to lengthen and improve lives for thousands of people. The drug is called Orkambi and is made by Vertex, a small biotech company in Boston, America. But there is a problem.
They came to London determined to be heard.
What do we want? Where do we want it?
The drug is so expensive that many health services across the world say they can't afford it.
Yeah, it would be just heartening knowing that there's always going to be something that helped me, but something I just can't touch.
10% of all cystic fibrosis sufferers live in the UK, where there is currently a deadlock between the NHS and Vertex, meaning many patients still cannot access a pill that could transform their lives. From The Guardian, I'm India Rakesson. Today in Focus, who decides the price of life? Carly Pleasant is 29. She has cystic fibrosis. I met her at home with her husband, Chris, 2-year-old baby, Jude, and her mum.
Is it useful having your mum so close?
Yeah, extremely useful. Just because sometimes you wake up and you just know you're not feeling good. And Chris works full time. She's able to take Jude for me. And then at weekends, mum and dad have him sometimes, just so I can catch up on sleep. If I don't get my sleep, things go really bad.
That's exactly what you think about, isn't it, Jode? Yeah, do you say it? Your nanny, what do you want me to say? Just say, make mummy better. Make mummy better, hey? Ta. Yeah, good boy.
At first, when I first was diagnosed, I wasn't diagnosed till I was 9. I remember sitting in the doctor's room at Medway Hospital. It was 2 days before my 10th birthday. It was the 23rd of December. And he said, the results have come back from King's and she's got cystic fibrosis. Life expectancy is 15. And all I really remember about that day is my mum passing out on the floor, and I was worried about my mum because she was laid on the floor at my feet. It was awful. That's what I remember. I'm 29 and, yeah, the majority of people that live are not past 30. For only 5% of people in their 40s, that's 10 years away. And Jude will only be 10. And it's terrifying. And out of my control.
And what does it mean, having cystic fibrosis? What are the symptoms for you?
You know, the most common thought when you think of CF is lungs and chest and breathing. So my body basically doesn't create enough water and salt to make all my mucus go round. So it all gets clogged up in my lungs and in my chest, making it very hard for me to breathe. So when you get an infection and you can't get rid of it, it is really, really bad. But it also affects my digestive system. I can't digest any fats at all. So I have to take enzymes every time I eat and drink. So enzymes alone, I take 40 a day.
40 tablets?
Yeah, that's just so I can eat. And then I have to take antibiotics, nebulizers, vitamins.
When it's bad, how bad is it?
When it's bad, it is to the point where you shut the door and you don't tell anyone what's going on apart from your family. Yeah, because it's scary bad. You ignore messages. You're signed off of work, not just for a few days, for weeks. Your body hurts, and then fear kicks in about, is this the last time that I'm going to get well? Like, will hospital be able to fix it this time, or has it gone too far? I go to every time I go into hospital when I'm unwell, I say to my team, is this the point now where you tell me you can't help me anymore? Has it gone too far?
And how often is that?
Since 2013, it's happened at least once a year. It's been a rough few years.
When did you first hear about Orkambi?
Probably about 3 or 4 years ago. I was at work and it came on the TV, on the news. And I kind of just stopped and stared at the TV and then ran out of the office and phoned my mum. And she was crying and we was all really happy. And then I phoned my dad and he was like, I told you, baby, I told you this day would come.
What did the news bulletin say?
It was saying it was going to treat the causes of CF and not just the symptoms. It was for the F508 mutation, which I've got. So it was for the right gene pool. And it just seemed like a big shimmer of sparkly, lovely hope. And it was really happy. And we went home. We all arranged to have dinner together that night. And we all sat down and spoke about it. And we can't believe it's going to... We can't believe it's someone's come, like all this time that they've spent in the labs making science. Like, just amazing, amazing day. But that was 4 years ago now.
Have you taken Orkambi?
No, not allowed.
Why?
They won't pay the price that Vertex are charging for it.
So the pharmaceutical company Vertex has made this drug, Orkambi. What is it, Sarah?
Orkambi basically targets the genetic mutation that causes cystic fibrosis.
Sarah Bosley is The Guardian's health editor.
All past drugs for cystic fibrosis have only ever treated the symptoms. None of them have treated the cause of the disease. So this is a real breakthrough, and everybody absolutely applauds the fact that it's been developed. It's a tremendous thing. It isn't a cure. It will simply stop the progression that cystic fibrosis causes, because children with cystic fibrosis lose 2% of their lung function every year.
So does Orkambi improve life expectancy for people with cystic fibrosis?
Orkambi has the potential to lengthen lives. We don't know if it will stop people dying entirely. That's really difficult to say at this point. It hasn't been around for that long. But for sure, it is lessening the symptoms. It's improving people's lung function. And that does definitely mean that they're going to live longer.
What is the situation in the UK? Why can't people like Carly access this drug?
All new drugs are appraised in the UK for NHS use. And it goes through the National Institute for Health and Care Excellence, also known as NICE. And they look at the drug and they work out whether it's value for money, basically whether it's cost effective. So Vertex is asking £105,000 per patient per year for this drug. And basically that breaks the barriers. It's more than NICE is allowed to say yes to. NHS England is trying to negotiate with the company. They've said, yes, we do want this drug. Can't afford £105,000 per patient per year. But tell you what, we will give you £500 million for access to this drug, Orkambi, plus the other ones you've got coming through your pipeline over the next 5 years. And then after 5 years, we'll renew that probably. You know, so that would be 10 years and £1 billion. So that offer went in 6 months ago and Vertex has said no, absolutely not.
So nobody in the UK can access it?
We have actually got a patient access scheme that's got about a couple of hundred people on it in the UK. And that's Vertex doing what companies always do, which is give it in circumstances where it's compassionate use, basically. So these are people at death's door. The reason why companies will offer drugs for compassionate use is because obviously they do not want people dying, and certainly not the sort of publicity that would be around that if it's because people can't afford the drug.
Okay, so essentially, unless you are so ill that you're about to die, you're unlikely to get this drug. Why is it this expensive?
Well, the CEO, who's Dr. Jeff Lydon, has said in, I've seen him on video actually, the NASDAQ share index behind him in lights and so on.
Let's talk a little bit about price. We have to address this.
And somebody did ask him, you know, why are you pricing it so high? Because it's very high in the States as well.
$200,000, that's your first drug.
$270,000 per person per year, which is prohibitive, of course, for a lot of people. But anyway, asked about the price, he said...
First one is, how much value does it bring to patients?
Well, first of all, it's the benefit that it will give to people.
Also the size of the population.
Second of all, it's the number of people who will actually be taking it. So their argument is that we need a lot more money because actually we haven't got that many patients to treat. So he's looking to his market, and basically that's what business people do.
But they did spend a lot of money developing it, didn't they?
They told me that they've invested $11.3 billion in research into this drug so far, which does sound like a lot of money. Mm. However, they've actually already made $7 billion from this drug. If they are actually going to corner the market in cystic fibrosis drugs, and it really does look as if that's what they're heading for, because they're going to be able to treat 90% of patients in the world, then maybe it is time to think about access for those people who need the drug now, because actually there is a time pressure on here. There are people getting worse and worse.
There have been funding rows over drugs in the past, so what's different about Orkambi?
I think it's a couple of things. This is on a scale that I haven't seen before. This is £105,000 and a company that won't budge.
You've never seen that in your reporting?
That sort of price, not really. Not when it's a drug that has to be taken forever. So the price of this is very high. The horror of it in that children and young adults are actually suffering because they can't get hold of this drug. And then finally, the fact that this drug was actually developed in part with charitable funds in the US, and it's been raised by the parents of people with cystic fibrosis.
That is shocking.
I came across the story of one woman in the United States called Laura Moser, who's now 40. And she was on one of these drugs, on Orkambi, for a while, and then her insurance company, because it all has to be insurance funded in the United States, decided that they wouldn't pay the whole amount and that she, her family, would have to pay $5,000 towards it. She can't afford it, so she's actually had to stop the drug. And her parents raised, she reckons, in her lifetime about $750,000 towards the research that actually enabled this drug to be developed, that she now can't afford to take. It's a pretty shocking state of affairs.
I kept asking my team, I've been hearing these things about Orkambi. When do you think it will come? Do you think it's going to happen soon? And they were like, oh, yeah, like it will happen. It's really great news. As soon as it's licensed, you're going to be able to have it. And then I started to hear a lot of things on the news about how it was being debated and being kind of at a stalemate. And then last time I was in hospital, I was having my blood tests and I looked up on the shelf and there was a box of Orkambi right in front of me. Yeah. And it was heartbreaking.
What did you say?
I didn't say anything. I just looked at it. And I said to my dad when we got out, did you see the box of Orkambi? And he went, yeah, I saw it.
So it's there?
People are being given it on compassionate grounds. So half my brain says, Carly, you've not got it, so at least you're well enough and you're lucky enough not to be given it on compassionate grounds. And then the other half of my brain says, but how much longer do I have to wait, and how much longer have I got to fight to maintain my current health until I get a bit of help?
What would it mean to the people around you if you were able to access Orkambi?
I think it would mean to everybody in the CF community that, number one, we'd be listened to. But to me personally, it would be a wish come true. I'd be getting better. I'd be like everybody else. I'd have the same chances. I'd feel like it would give me control and stability. I'd wake up in the mornings and not worry about what the day was going to bring. Go to bed thinking, well, tomorrow's going to be all right. My little boy's too young, but for me, it would be me being his mum for years and years and years and not... terrified every time I look at him, thinking that I'm gonna leave him too early and leave him and my husband alone. I say to my husband Chris all the time, don't let me die, don't let me die.
What does he say to that?
He says, you're not gonna die, don't be stupid, I won't let anything happen to you. And then my answer is, well, you don't know that, you can't stop what's gonna happen to me. for selfish reasons, I think that an agreement should just be made. I think it is expensive. And I don't understand how other countries have afforded it. Places like Germany has it. And so that's how close it is. That's how touching distance it is.
Do you get the impression that a lot of people in the cystic fibrosis community are kind of pooling together over Orkambi?
Oh, yeah. I think that it's a huge team effort now. And I think that we're all working together. We're all working for the same goal. But yeah, there's been protests. There's been letters written to Theresa May. So hopefully, I don't know, this is what I mean. You just hold on to every little bit of glimmer of hope.
So what action is being taken in the UK, Sarah?
In the House of Commons, the Health and Social Care Committee has started an investigation. They've demanded letters from the NHS England and from the company Vertex, and they're going to hold a public hearing on the 7th of March. They will look at the inquiry that's already gone on from NICE into the cost effectiveness. They will then look at the price that NHS England is offering. They have asked Vertex to justify the price it's asking. In the meantime, NHS England has been asking Vertex to come back to the negotiating table.
Is there another way that people could be developing more affordable drugs for rare diseases?
People are increasingly thinking that we have to have a different way of doing this. And the trouble is that the way drug companies are reimbursed at the moment is on sales. So one of the ideas that's been put forward is that there should be a sort of prize fund up front so that a company that develops a new antibiotic that we want would get a big sum of money, and then they wouldn't be reliant on the sales after all.
Could similar drugs to Orkambi be made if Orkambi's so expensive?
No. Vertex has a patent on Orkambi and the other drugs that are like it that it's developing. So that means they have an absolute monopoly for 20 years from when they took the patent out. On the other hand, patents can be challenged, and they have been. The best example actually is with the AIDS drugs. You can actually override patents in the interests of public health. It is now being suggested that we should do exactly that. So the company making the drug would get some compensation, but they just wouldn't get anything like the big profit that Vertex wants.
Do you think that would happen?
I think it's a long shot. The pharmaceutical industry absolutely hates this, and they would rather license their drug to a generic manufacturer and get it made just for a small group of people who perhaps need it and can't afford it, but try to make profits elsewhere in the world.
Is part of the problem here the funds that are available to the NHS?
Every country in the world is actually having to wrestle with the price of drugs. It isn't just the NHS. So in the States, you've got people who aren't sufficiently well insured, who can't get the drugs that they need. Actually, trying to pay for cancer drugs is one of the main reasons for bankruptcy of families in the United States. And on the other side of the equation, you've actually got poor countries that are trying to get basic drugs and they can't afford them either. So it's really a huge question, and there have been meetings at the United Nations on trying to find new ways to deal with this. Prize funds are actually on the agenda there.
Do you think we will see Orkambi in England anytime soon?
I think it has to happen, but I can't quite see how. We've been in stalemate now for 6 months, so somebody's got to budge. And I actually can't at the moment see who is going to blink first.
Sarah, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All of Sarah Bosley's reporting on Orkambi and cystic fibrosis can be found at theguardian.com. Coming up, how growing hostility and conspiracy theories across Europe are altering politics between nations and could influence the results of the European Parliament elections. Now, Guardian columnist and leader writer Natalie Nougaret has been looking into the worrying rise of conspiracy theories in Europe and what that could mean for elections in May.
There's been a lot of talk in recent years about fake news, and I think it's obviously, you know, warranted, and it was good to point out the danger of fake news. But conspiracy theories are something, they're a specific category of fake news, and they are arguably much more toxic because, unlike some parts of fake news, they are deliberately produced and shaped to achieve certain goals. They carry a kind of total worldview in which nothing is by chance. Enemies lurk outside our realm and we need to protect ourselves. Everything's connected, you know. It's not just one bit of fake news that says this happened, whereas it didn't. It's a much wider phenomenon. You stop believing a lot of things and you start being extremely suspicious of everything. And I think in the European context, a patchwork of nations, tensions between governments, misunderstandings between people, I think this is fertile ground for conspiracy theories. So the most recent, I'd say, and worrying conspiracy theory that's popped up is the one attached to the idea that the eastern French region of Alsace-Lorraine would be sold off to Germany. And now this idea emerged last month with this toxic rumor that emerged initially from far-right groups in France and spread on social media and then was picked up by leading members of the French right wing, especially Marine Le Pen. This is something that if anybody had mentioned it, if only 10 years ago, nobody would have picked it up. This is something that would have died in a corner in some obscure, you know, far right publication. I'm French and I spent some of my teenage years in Alsace, in the eastern part of France. And when I saw that this rumor was taking hold, I thought, oh, now that is dangerous taboo breaking. You know, France and Germany went to war several times over their history for the control of Alsace-Lorraine. We are very, very far from a situation like that, you know, thank God. But the very fact that the idea of a sort of territorial transfer or carving up would reemerge is something that I found, you know, earth-shattering and a dangerous breaking of taboos. In my piece, I quote Hannah Arendt, the philosopher who wrote strong, strong books about the totalitarian system. And she mentions conspiracy theories and lies. And she says that one of the ways they work is that they push people to seek refuge in cynicism. It doesn't matter in the end, because the very cynicism that they produce will lead to a situation where voters or citizens will actually, in the end, admire the leaders, the dictators, the authoritarians or the populists who have spread these theories. They will be admired just for their very successful attempt to manipulate. I think we need to be more aware of how these conspiracy theories have been growing in quick succession in recent months, you know, and we need to think about how that can be addressed within the context of this upcoming European electoral campaign for the Parliament. If we don't do that, this will lay the ground for growth of far-right groups specifically, but also other extremists. You could imagine a situation where EU institutions would be virtually paralyzed.
That's it for today. My thanks to Natalie Nougared, Sarah Bosley, and Carly Pleasant and her family. Do keep us up to speed on how you feel about Today in Focus. Leave us a review, and if you feel like it, have a subscribe. Today's programme was produced by Joshua Kelly, Miles Martignoni, and sound design was by Axel Cacoutier. The executive producers are Nicole Jackson and Phil Maynard. We'll be back tomorrow.
In today's non-stop world, making quality time for yourself is more important than ever. When you buy a subscription to The Guardian and The Observer, you can look forward to sitting back and leafing through every page at your own pace. From the latest groundbreaking investigations to recipes, reviews, award-winning sports coverage, and more. Plus, we're now offering an additional 50% off our 3-month subscriptions. Only when you subscribe before the 17th of February. Just search Guardian Subscriptions.